The term graffiti elicits visceral reactions among many people who think of it as a form of vandalism, with words and images painted or drawn upon public buildings or structures. The embrace of public art, though, has helped redefine what graffiti is and sometimes how it's perceived. And many of the people who've practiced the act of graffiti were making political statements, much more than trying to attract attention for defacing a piece of property. Stefano Block grew up in Los Angeles as a graffiti writer, facing a difficult home life with an out-of-the-picture father and a heroin-addicted mother in a gang-ridden area. Block is now a professor of cultural geography at the University of Arizona and author of Going All City, Struggle and Survival in L.A.'s Graffiti Subculture. Stefano, as someone who lived in graffiti culture, how do you react to people who think of it as vandalism and not art?
Well, I mean, there's two sides of this. One is that people, and they're rightfully entitled to this perspective, is that graffiti is cryptic and aesthetically displeasing. It's ugly. It's something that people don't understand and don't want, and they're entitled to not want it, especially if they're property owners. That has always made sense to me. What has made less sense to me, or what I feel like is more of a trap for people in terms of how they understand graffiti, is this conflation between graffiti and violent crime or gangs, which really comes out of a broken windows policing ideology. But as far as an aesthetic interpretation or simply a disgust for it, people are entitled to that, and I would never even try to challenge that.
Did graffiti have to become an outlet for you in the sense of talking about the misperception to some extent and even the life you were living as a very young person? Did it start off as an artistic outlet to you? Did it start off as rebellion? How would you characterize it?
It's funny. It's all about hindsight now. You know, I look back on what was I thinking then versus what do I think or conceptualize now. And I think I'm being honest when I say that the iconoclastic aspect of doing graffiti, the transgressive nature of doing graffiti, is something that really did matter to me. I liked the rebellion in graffiti. But did I believe that graffiti was a political statement that was going to challenge some kind of societal norms or structures? No, I don't think I thought that. And likewise, was I led to graffiti because it was a form of expression, you know, an artistic endeavor where I was able to, you know, say something larger than myself? Well, I don't think it was that either. Mm. For me, graffiti is about practice, and it's not high-level political practice or engagement. It's really personal, low-level iconoclasm and transgression, and I really enjoyed that aspect of it. I enjoyed the fact that people didn't like it and that it was illegal, but not so illegal that it would, you know, ruin my life, although it has ruined the lives of other people who were caught up in the criminal system because of graffiti.
What was the initial foray into it? Why did you do it?
I was driven by those really base human elements of wanting to feed the ego, you know, wanting to have fame, wanting to engage in something that was adventurous, but also wanting to fit in line with what is really a conservative understanding of what are the appropriate forms of graffiti from within the graffiti community. I was driven by something that was neatly packaged, that was neatly understood from within the subculture, that was practice-based, and more so something that I had control over.
When you mentioned control, was that appealing to you in part because there were so many aspects, not just because you were a kid, because of a kid and the circumstances you were, that you needed to have some control somewhere?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just walking down the street in my neighborhood, you know, gangsters would jump out of the car, you know, and throw you to the ground, beat you up potentially. You have no control over that. You have no control over them. The police would pull up, you know, slam your face into the wall and crush your fingers. You had no control over that. There were always people stronger or who had more power than you who were controlling, you know, your trajectory across the city, who were controlling your movements and even controlling your emotions. But in doing graffiti, even though there is risk involved and because even though it is really dangerous, you knew what you were getting into and therefore you had control over it. And the fact that you did it, you know, in the middle of the night and it was such a covert operation, and the fact that you could do what you want because no one could put rules around something that's already illegal aside from the legal rules, but you could rebuke those rules and have control over it. And I didn't look for control in other aspects of my life. I didn't have a machismo attitude or perspective on anything. I just wanted to control something that said something about my own personal identity, but that was acceptable to people within my subculture, my peer group.
You've been through so many dramatic changes in your life. Did you think that you would be where you are now?
You know, that's a great question, and I try to think back to how I thought about my future. And I'm definitely not one of these people that has, you know, anything less than optimistic view of things. And I think I had an optimistic view for myself, but I didn't have the literacy needed to identify all the options I had. So my options were limited, but I didn't feel like I was going to take the least good option. I really felt like something good is going to come out of this. But for me, good, I think when I was around, you know, 17 meant that I would work in construction because the smell of wood and waking up in the morning and standing around with a bunch of construction workers with coffee. To this day, I think that just something so interesting about that. But I never really pictured myself like I am now, someone who's secure and supported by people in power. I feel supported in my job. I feel supported by my family. I feel supported and privileged in terms of how society sees me.
So there are so many examples. I live in Phoenix, so we see it in Phoenix, of course, and it happens in other places where there is art in alleyways. There is art commissioned by cities that maybe in the past would have been seen as maybe not graffiti, but in this, all the murals that we see around town and that sort of thing. Is this a seismic shift? And when did you start to notice it?
I really think that the shift from seeing graffiti, that cryptic wall signature, as part of gang identity or territoriality or something that would lead to violent crime versus graffiti as a form of art or a pleasing aesthetic that is more akin to murals or mainstream public art, I really think that that transition in the minds of, you know, mainstream society happened in around probably early 2000s for sure, but I'll pick 2004. And the reason I say 2004 is because that was the year that internationally recognized street artists were coming to places like Los Angeles, one of the epicenters of street art and graffiti globally. And they were coming to Los Angeles and they were, you know, wheat pasting and putting up political imagery and stencils. And people were just interested in that new composition, that new aesthetic. And I feel like people started to talk about, oh, wall writing or wall marking is elevating. It's evolving. But I could say that even though that public perception changed, it was still the people who were writing their names on the wall in a cryptic, perhaps aesthetically unpleasing way, were also the ones who were doing wheat pastings and murals and public art pieces, because graffiti writers have always had a really expanded, complex repertoire.
That is Stefano Bloch. He's author of Going All City, Struggle and Survival in LA's Graffiti Subculture. He's currently an assistant professor at the U of A in Tucson. Thanks so much for the conversation. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.